Welcome to the 23rd episode of Who's Editing, a thought experiment in which my guest and I appoint ourselves editors of a comic book line at DC Comics. But the joke's on us because we can only use the characters of a specific issue of Who's Who, and in fact must use them. I'm Siskoid, I'll let you in on all the rules, but first, my guest with which to create a line of books based on Who's Who number 23. It's my old partner from First Strike and Zero Hour Strikes and one of the co-hosts of FW Team Up Strikes. It's Bas Levesque.
Bas Levesque Strikes.
We should just have named it that and then we could have done anything we wanted.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't do that easily. We don't like easy.
I'm catching you towards the end of this run because this is the Titans issue. And of course, you're always on record saying you are a big fan of the new Titans.
Yeah. These guys got me into comic books. So yeah, I kind of like them.
Yeah. And there's a couple of Titan-related entries that we can certainly use in this. Did you have any challenges as you went into this process?
Well, one challenge was that some of the entries are completely alien to me. I mean, who the hell is Telus? I mean, up here, Telus is cell phone company. I mean, why the hell are there two Tempests? And none of them are Aqualad. So I don't know what's going on. I had a bit of reading to do just to, because I don't like to just, I mean, yeah, I read the Who's Who entry, but, you know, I like to go snooping around and get to know these characters a little bit more because, I mean, we have an editing job to do and editing is a lot of responsibility, right? So I tried to get the best out of these entries and tried to go read a little bit and juggling the past, the future, the fans, the people. You know, it's quite the challenge, actually.
And not every editor takes it so seriously, Bas. And I'm talking about the real world. Sometimes you have a feeling that, you know, like whoever's handling certain comics, I don't know if they've ever read any of the comics, you know, just by the decisions they made.
Yeah.
For me, it was like there's two planets in here. And I've already done the characters who come from there. So that was a challenge because I don't like my problem is I do this every month or every 2 months. In other words, I can't repeat myself, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the problems. And there's a lot of Titans, as you said, but that's a franchise I don't really care about. See? Oh. That's right. So that makes it more difficult for me. And two from Atari Force, two from the Legion, two Charlton characters. It's all over the map.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like this issue goes out of its way not to be about the current day DC universe.
Yeah, really?
So sometimes, well, you can have a very varied, disparate line by keeping the characters where they are, or you can bring them together in one continuity, one era. So we'll see how we did on that. We'll talk about our strategies a bit more, but before we do that, one more time, the rules. Each episode of Who's Editing will go by. Our line of books must include a monthly series for every hero character or team featured, as well as any non-HQ location like those planets. We can give a villain or some other entry their own series if we absolutely feel the need to, but we can only name a single villain from the issue to receive that honor. So imagine we're coming back from some crisis or other. We can reboot characters. We can use any continuity's version. It's really up to us. Titles don't have to match the entries. Note that each of us is pitching our own ideas. We'll sort of end up with two possible lines of books. And listeners, you're the ones who decide which books you'd actually want to read. And we'll play that game too. We'll have just enough money to buy one title from the other editor's line on a monthly basis. So take notes. So tell me, did you have a strategy going into this?
Well, you know, it's a very varied plate. I mean, there's a lot of variety in here. So my strategy is quite simple, variety, style, and fun. So I'm going for different styles, which will be, I think, easy in this case. I'm going to try and give multiple books tied into one
family.
A family of comics and try to get some maxi series in there, or I'll just try to be interesting.
Okay. I had no strategy. So it's even simpler. I just started writing and I tried not to repeat myself from other episodes and that was it.
Oh, that can work.
So with issue 23 of Who's Who, we have to include a minimum of 16 books in our line and a maximum of 17. The new 17. I'm going to hand it off to you first, and we'll do a bit of back and forth in entry order, and we'll keep our bonus villain series for the end. Okay, so we get two planets in this issue. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Two damn planet. And they have to have series, starting with Tamaran, Starfire's world. So that's a Titan-related one. What you got?
Yeah, well, you know, Tamaran, well, it's had quite a history. So we're going to pick it up where it basically left off. The Tamaranians, led by Queen Commander, of course, are still looking to find a home world. After 20 years in space, they return to the corrupted Vega system. They find a small but lush planet, reminiscent of the Ymir Forest and the Seven Falls. Queen Commander decides that this will be the last planet of the Tamaranians, their final home. So they settle on the planet, and she's immediately contacted by the Green Lantern Corps, who now can go into the Vega system. The Corps find a wiser, kinder, and very protective Queen Commander. She becomes the newest addition to the Green Lantern Corps, and Tamaran 3 becomes the one shining light of justice in the corrupted Vega system.
Okay, so it's a Green Lantern book. Interesting. I'm also using Commander, obviously. I'm making this a Blackfire series.
Of course.
That's what it's going to be called, Blackfire. Oh. Yours is Greenfire, I guess. Yeah. So it's about her as queen and protector of the planet, similar. She's up against Vega system villains like the Citadel and the Scions, and she's going to make sure they don't cause problems for her citizens. I want this to be Game of Thrones with energy blasts. You know, lots of courtly intrigue and politics, but Commander doesn't mind getting her hands dirty too, so you know. Besides, we'll develop other members of her court, like a knight protector type who loves her, but to whom she's very cruel. The kid brother, Ryander, wouldn't be in this as well, playing like a Hamlet type who thought he'd ascend to the throne, so he might be a danger from within. And because Blackfire is ruthless and used to be a villain, we might think he has the better claim. But it's kind of a series where you want to see the bad guy win, where you know you're actually rooting for Blackfire. I don't want to be a speciesist, but we're going to humanize her a little bit. Well, we're going to Tamaranian her a bit.
I think it's a great idea. I love that political power intrigue stuff where people just backstab each other and
Yeah, and Blackfire is perfect for that. From a queen to a queen, basically, Tara is our next character, and I'm making Tara a reverse warlord. He was lost in Skartaris, and so she'll be lost on Earth itself, and she's trying to find her way back to Inner Earth. The series tracks how she navigates a modern technological world where she knows absolutely no one, finds various holes in the ground that might lead home, and fails until the last issue, obviously, and it creates a new family around the character. She's a queen, and I want her to have that kind of charisma, where a little bit like Wonder Woman. Well, people seem to flock to her, so she naturally attracts followers. By the end, some of them might follow her back to Skartaris, or there might be tearful farewells. This is essentially Red Sonja hanging out in the 21st century, a badass fish out of water story.
Ooh, I'm going to be building on the recent D&D popularity, because D&D has had a
resurgence.
Yeah, since Stranger Things and the movie. We're going to be building on that D&D popularity with a Jumanji twist, should I say. We're going to go back to the world of Warlord, actually. Four young military people. I'm not going to gender people. They could all be anything. I don't really mind. And they are also TTRPG players. So I'm not going with exactly D&D, but it's a tabletop RPG.
Right. With the numbers filed off. We can't say it's D&D, but we know.
Yeah. And they learn about Travis Morgan, the original military person that went to a Warlord world place. And while they are on duty at Pitufik Space Base, and that's in the north, the group of four are playing their favorite TTRPG. And during an intense combat sequence, one player grabs an artifact that was stored in that base. They keep artifacts there and just for fun does a thing, and they're sucked into a portal. And they go to Warlord World, and they appear in front of Tara, who is wishing for warriors to rescue her husband. So she gains these people as new Warlord people. I never read Warlord, so I don't know.
It's Skartaris.
Okay, so I don't know. So I really had no idea, but I wanted to make it a like a blade and sorcery type thing.
It makes sense. I think you, if you build a team around it, it's a little bit like Warlord was actually, because they had different people with different abilities.
Yes.
But I've always liked the idea of they do that in novels. And of course, the D&D cartoon was like that. People from here get dropped into the fantasy world. Yeah, I see it.
We all had that fantasy when we were younger, you know, finding some kind of portal that brings us to, you know, the Forgotten Realms or something like that. You can bleep out Forgotten Realms if we can't say that. I don't know how, I don't know how, you know, Wizards of the Coast do that. No,
I did a whole show on the Forgotten Realms. So, okay, I mean, okay, there can't, okay, can't be a problem.
I think we're okay.
Next up is the Tarantula, Golden Age hero. What did you think for this one?
I didn't know anything about him except that he had this really cool, kind of cool, a suit, bad colors, but cool suit. So I'm going to make Tarantula a buddy cop series. Jonathan Law is not going to be an author, but a screenwriter and producer who wants to create the next superhero cinematic universe. So he goes undercover as an old school vigilante, Tarantula, and gets caught up in an adventure with the Outsiders, your favorite team. And he's a bit of a, you know, he's this funny person with very basic skills in a very secret, dark world. There's going to be Black Lightning in there, Katana, Metamorpho, Halo, and no Batman, but as a representative of the Batman family, Red Hood will be in the Outsiders now. And they're an international task force. They're working in secret, and they're on a rescue mission to save Geo-Force, your favorite hero, who is being used as a geological weapon of some sort by some kind of evil agency. I don't know. The writers will figure that out. He's just this regular guy who gets caught up in superhero madness. So yeah, it's basically James Gunn as the Tarantula.
We're very close on this one, except, of course, mine will be better because the Outsiders aren't in it. so I'm transposing Jonathan Law to the modern day, like you. Yeah. The costume they created for him in the 80s is, I think, modern enough that it doesn't need much of a change, this one. And he's still writing a book on superheroes, as in the original. And the Tarantula identity is just part of that research. He wants to know what it feels like. He wants to get close to professional superheroes and get information that way. He's like a journalist who goes undercover in a business, you know, or joins a cult. We've seen these documentaries or these pieces in newspapers, except for him, it's, you know, infiltrating the Justice League. Well, probably not the Justice League and certainly not the Outsiders, but some team lower on the totem pole, you know. Again, maybe it is the Outsiders. And along the way, he'll surprise himself doing actual heroics. He doesn't realize he's faking it till he makes it.
Yeah, well, originally I was going to do like a James Gunn thing where he's with Task Force X. And then I realized, well, there are no heroes in Task Force X. I was trying to find a team. I was going to go with the Titans, but I thought, well, we have Titans already.
And he's too old. He's too old.
Yeah, so I was thinking, well, these guys, you know, the Black Lightning, Katana, Metamorpho, well, they could work.
They wouldn't because they don't work as a team already. Anyways, enough with my favorite team. Now on to Atari Force, my other favorite team. Well, this actually is a book that I did like. Taz is our first character from that book. Mine is going to be a humor series. It's called Tazlings. Probably plays on the popularity of the Minions, but I don't really know because I wouldn't be caught dead watching anything with Minions in it. Well, I wouldn't.
Well, it's so good. Despicable Me is so good.
Are the Minions movies good?
Yeah.
There's no way it's good. It's annoying as hell.
No, anyway, it's under 4 year old.
It's for very young kids. My series has Mama Taz on DC Earth in the current day and her 10 Tazlings getting up to all sorts of trouble with their innate technical skills. So they build things, they try to help people, they interact with DCU stars, they cause problems, little invention machines that they are. Each issue has multiple gag strips. This is like some Balthazar and Franco type stuff. But there's a villain too. The Atari Corporation wants to capture some Tazlings so they can patent their inventions. That's where Taz herself comes in with her super soldier skills to protect her babies. So one thing that would change from the art here is more differentiation between the kids. The show, they have different interests, personalities, clothes, like the Smurfs, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like we read the Smurfs as albums, Peyo's originals, and yeah, they all look the same.
Pretty much.
There's one with glasses. Papa Smurf, obviously, looks different. Smurfette eventually when she's created. But everybody else looks the same, and it's just in their attitudes that it's different. But in the cartoon show, they change the hats. They put things on them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Modified them so that we immediately knew who was who. I want to do that to the Tazlings, because otherwise it's just all the same.
Probably better than mine, because I'm ripping off Jumanji again.
Oh, okay.
Only this time it's Jumanji, the later movies with The Rock. Unless you're Francophone in Canada and in your 40s, this is a twist on Traboulidon, which was a show about two people who get siphoned into a computer. And it was in the early 80s, so it was so before their time. These four ordinary kids, they find an old Atari video game system, 2600, with a weird addition on it. Something that looks a bit like a mother box stuck to it. So they start up the game and they get sucked into the game world. Two of the teams are going to be teamed up with Taz. The other two are coming up with Tempest, so don't worry about them.
Okay.
And they're on a mission to stop the Dark Destroyer from destroying the multiverse. The Taz book is going to be a funny, zany, cartoony type book. And it'll stick to video game tropes. And this one will be looking a bit more like Fortnite, you know, a bit cartoony, kind of weird, kind of funny, you know, people dancing and stuff like that. And the Atari Force series will be called Atari Force Multiverse. And in this case, Atari Force Multiverse Taz.
So this is one of your families of books.
Yes, yes. Well, the other one will be Tempest.
You could have put Telus in the Atari Force for all I know. He'd fit, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's move on to the Teen Titans. Here we go. Here we go, Bess.
This one you're not going to like. I'm telling you right now.
It's the Outsiders when they were kids.
No. In the far future, a group of young heroes are inspired by Earth's greatest hero group. They band together and become the Legion of Titans. It's a twist on the Legion of Superheroes.
I get it.
Yeah. And the Legion of Titans only have 9 members, though, at all time. There's a Robin, a Beast Boy, a Cyborg, a Wonder Girl, a Starfire, a Raven, a Kid Flash, a Speedy, and an Aqualad. The young heroes resemble the Legion of Superheroes because they have Titan rings that connect every member with an advanced cybornetics. You get it? So they have communications. They can fly and stuff like that. The team look nothing like the Teen Titans of right now. They use the names, though, because the names become the handle for these heroes. So they work as a team and they shout out Titans Go when they work. They're on a mission to stop Father Time. He's an old villain who has a hand in the creation of Hive. So this is a Teen Titans
1,000,000.
Yeah. It's a time travel Titans book.
As for me, look, I tried hard to like the new Teen Titans. I read it for a long time. It never quite clicked with me. And every subsequent attempt to do the Titans, I found kind of ordinary at best, terrible at worst. I gotta say, though, there's a new Titans number one out, like a couple weeks ago. It's Tom Taylor, who's already writing Nightwing, who has already involved the Titans in Nightwing's adventures.
Oh, I love that guy.
I think I'm gonna like this one. I think I'm really gonna like this one. I like the first issue in any case, and it's all part of that same family of books. So, but be that as it may, in the past, the Titans have been a hard sell for me. And the only Titan stories I really loved were the goofy Bob Haney originals when I read them in Showcase Presents, and as they were presented in 2008's Year One miniseries by Amy Wolfram and Carl Kershaw.
Yeah, that was awesome. I have that.
I mean, it was very funny. Poor Aqualad. But so I don't want to update the Titans or have the new Titans as adults or a new team of sidekicks. I want that Year One miniseries as a series that takes place a few years ago, just like World's Finest right now. It's like a few years ago. Again, with apologies to Aqualad, this is the butt of the joke in there.
Yeah.
But that's what I want to read month to month. In a way, this is, I guess it would be closer to the Teen Titans cartoon, Teen Titans Go. Mm-hmm.
Same spirit.
Yeah, so I don't think it's too controversial a move. And then, you know, somebody else can do some modern Titans things. It doesn't matter, because this is kind of a period piece when they were actually young, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. Yeah.
Young and goofy. I love them young and goofy. And that's why I love Titans Go. I mean, that's so my jam. I love them.
There you go. Now, one of my favorites. Tell us. Oh my.
I didn't even know who
he's a Legionnaire. I know. I have a family of books of my own here. The Time Trapper, who's also in this issue, has interfered with the Legion again and gone back to when Tellus joined the team and blown everything apart. Now, the only Legion left is those recruits at that point. Polar Boy, Tellus, Sensor Girl, Quizlet, and Magnetic Kid. They can hardly call themselves a Legion. I mean, they're only 5 people. So they also absorb everyone in Legion Academy at that time, and they become the Last Legion. That's going to be the name of the book. A team that isn't so experienced and has a lot of trouble filling the shoes of the original team. Polar Boy is named field leader because of his experience with the subs, but Tellus will be important. He's voted actual leader, and he becomes a kind of Professor X for the team, mostly coordinating missions from the HQ or the ship or whatever they use. But will he crack under the pressure?
Oh, my.
I did not do that ocean pun on purpose. Okay.
Great way to get Tellus front and center in a book.
But where did you go, given that you knew nothing about this character?
Well, I had to go check a bit, and you know, I learned that Tellus is from one of the underwater species. So I basically transformed Tellus's origin story into something else. Tellus comes to Earth to learn about the Legion of Superheroes. He becomes a legionnaire, fights injustice, blah, blah, blah. But he learns about this one superhero of old, often mocked, that protected the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
Tellus becomes Tellus, the new Aquaman. The series is about returning to Atlantis and is inspiring the Atlanteans, who've been directionless for centuries, to become the biggest and most powerful nation on Earth. A political intrigue comic about power, culture, and acceptance.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. One of the things that the Legion rarely did, they tried to do it more in like the Bendis version, which did something with Atlantis. But okay. Otherwise, you know, the Legion comics is like, obviously they were inspired by Superman, Superboy, and Supergirl were part of the team, etc. It's almost like all the other heroes never existed. So rarely mentioned. So it's interesting to actually carry over the legacy of Aquaman. Let's move on to Tempest. Speaking of underwater heroes, are you going to use this IP to get an Aqualad book, or did you go with Joshua Clay?
Actually, I went with Joshua Clay, but so what I did was just push him maybe 20, 25 years in the future. Jonathan Carmichael, MD, had a normal life as a well-established Park Avenue doctor. As he grows in age and he experiences some flashbacks, and his powers manifest. Now close to 70 years old, during a family dinner to commemorate his late wife, Jonathan comes clean to his 3 kids and 4 grandkids. He tells them that his name is Joshua Clay, and he was once the superhero named Tempest. We discover that the entire family has superpowers. Nobody talked about it. And then they become a superhero family team, led by Dr. Clay. The family learns to fight crime as the superhero team, the Tempest. So this series focuses on family, generational differences, understanding, and the importance of honesty and acceptance in family. For this one, I even went for writers and art. I would love for this to be written by Stephanie Williams, art by Chris Cross. This is what my dream team would be for this book.
I like it. I call it Tempest Tossed, mine.
Oh.
Tempest Tossed. It's a book about Joshua Clay's big sister, Jessie Clay. He joined the military. He discovered he had powers while under combat stress and then joined the Doom Patrol. That's the story. And he ends up murdered by the chief. This is all actual history. But hanging around Morrison's Doom Patrol attracts all sorts of weirdness. And years later, Jessie, who hadn't heard of her brother in even longer, starts to notice weird stuff happening in Brooklyn. Very weird stuff. So this is a series about what happens when the demented world of the Doom Patrol starts affecting a normal single mom with an office job. It's all her brother's fault, and she half knows it, but there's nothing she can do about it. How do you even catch the attention of superheroes whose job it is to take care of this stuff? So I want to build a fun community of characters around Jesse, including the rest of the Clay family, who are each caught up in a small, weird happening.
Interesting.
Doom Patrol adjacent.
So this is a ordinary people comic book about being caught up in superhero stuff.
If you want to, you know, Astro City or Marvels or something like that.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought of but weirder, darker, more like on the Vertigo side of things.
Okay. Yeah.
There's another Tempest. So I know you're doing an Atari Force book here. I already have a book with the word Tempest in it. That's a problem for me. So I'm going to call this one is going to be called Atari Force.
Okay.
It is a companion book to Tazlings, But this one's deadly serious. So somehow this family of books is has the two tones. But again, it's set in the world of today, and the Atari Corporation is as evil as any other corporation. And one of the projects is the Atari Force, a super soldier program with which they are building an entire army for hire. Christopher Champion is one of these soldiers whose teleporting ability makes him the guy to get his Black Ops squad in and out of hotspots. The rest of the team should be based on other Atari Force characters. Dart and Blackjack would be kind of the same, while the aliens would be humans with similar names. So Packrat would be a super thief, Morphia would be a psychic, Babe is like a hot chick with enhanced strength. There's no Taz for simplicity's sake, because she's okay in the other book. But obviously, the team starts to question Atari's motives very early on, and then they go rogue, turning on the evil corp that made them what they are.
We're not so far, you and I.
Atari Force Multiverse.
Atari Force Multiverse Tempest. Two of our teens, they team up this time with Tempest at the Atari Institute to stop the Dark Destroyer once again. In this Atari Force book, this is a super spy thriller story with teleportation phasing through dimensions and agents everywhere trying to stop Tempest and the kids. And this is one of four Atari books. There's Atari Force Multiverse Taz, of course, we talked about it. There's Tempest, which is the spy thriller. There's Morphia, which will be more fantasy-like, and Blackjack, which is going to be like this ninja-type thing going on. And the Atari Force is outside of the DC universe or multiverse, right? But they have a role inside this DC multiverse. The Atari Force is the one force that is forever trying to keep the Dark Destroyer from breaking the multiverse and creating unnecessary crises in the DC universe.
They're failing.
So we learned that the Dark Destroyer, every time there's a crisis, it's because of the Dark Destroyer. So they're always trying to stop it from having, once again, the multiverse shook and destroyed and rewritten every 4 years.
Because they just did something like that in Dark Crisis, right?
Yeah.
They had, I guess, the Great Darkness was behind every crisis we've had in some way. So the Dark Destroyer is sort of that force in your books. All right. Next up is Terra. And we had a bit of a questioning about this. I originally did not include her, but you convinced me that there is a heroic Terra from, you know, there's one version of the Titans where she's heroic. And
we kind of agreed that she was somewhat manipulated and brainwashed.
I don't know. She looks really evil in the Serpent here. So we included Terra.
This is going to be a companion book for the Legion of Titans story. So this is kind of the other side of the Legion of Titans. Terra, she is a Legion of Titans spy inside Hive. So she's not really evil. She's pretending to be evil, but she's working for the Legion of Titans. And she's finding out how Hive was really responsible for initiating the Monarch / Extent fiasco and how they keep trying to conquer the galaxy through time travel. This is another spy thriller, but with a female lead. You know, imagine Atomic Blonde style.
Okay.
You know, she's badass as AF. She discovers that Terra, the one that inspired the future Titans and her character, her persona, she discovers that Terra was originally a spy and betrayed the Titans. So that knowledge plunges her in a spiral of self-doubt and self-fulfilling prophecies of things going wrong. And there's a big question of, is she destined to betray her friends?
It's a good use of that history. I'm just using her IP. I'm just...
Okay. Hey, sure.
This is Terra. A Terra.
Hey, you're editing this thing. You can do whatever you want.
And my Terra is a young girl of color who has just sprung up whole out of the earth. A child of Gaia. She doesn't know who she is or why she's there, but her searching for an identity leads her into all sorts of adventures. Is she Gaia's champion, or is she meant to be the next step in human evolution? Maybe she just wants to do teenage things, seeing as she was born a 13-year-old. So I want this one to ooze charm and have a more cartoony style that appeals to younger readers because I like that style, even at my age. I think there's two times to like that style, when you're young and then when you're older.
Because it's refreshing.
Yeah, there's something about it. Very often I will include series that are kind of like this. Flip a couple pages, we get to Thanagar.
Oh, Wow.
So back in episode 10, I did four different Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Hawkwoman series.
You're doing God's work.
There was four entries, one of which was Hawkworld. Mm. So how do I not repeat myself? So I propose a series called Shadow War. There was a storyline called, or a miniseries called Shadow War of Hawkman. That's where it comes from. It stars the Bronze Age Hawkman and Hawkwoman as a sexy married couple. That's my default for the Hawks. Mm-hmm. They're trying to overthrow Hyathus's occupation of Thanagar with the help of a few friends. So we've got Adam Strange lending them Ron as a home base. We've got the Atom, who has left Earth to help his old friend. And there will be crossovers with characters from Blackfyre and from the Tigor series that's coming up. So this is a resistance story where the heroes have to do things they're not particularly happy with to save their planet. So, for example, they need to infiltrate Hyathus's inner circle, but can they trust their old enemy Bith to do it? Since all these people are evil, they got the TH sound, Hyathus and Bith. So now, we just covered a story with IQ on FW Team Up, you and I, Bas. And what if Hawkman recruited him? Like, what if he assembled a resistance group that included a number of his foes? I mean, it's called Shadow War for a reason. It's got to be in the shadows and...
Well, it has to be shady.
Exactly. Like, you know, like gray moral areas. So that's five Hawkman series.
Wow.
Where's my medal? What are you doing with Thanagar?
Thanagar blows up. No more Hawk anything. One issue, four pages, given away on Free Comic Book Day. The last page is only the words, no joke, Thanagar sucks, written and illustrated by me. This is the entire series.
That's consistent. That's consistent with your persona. Big twist, Bess. The Outsiders were visiting that day. It happened. No joke.
I had absolutely nothing with the Hawk people. If Thanagar was destroyed and these were the last two Hawk people in the universe, they might be interesting. The Hawk people, I just don't get.
All right. Do you get Thriller?
Oh, my.
Thriller night.
Well, that's the only thing I know of Thriller. That's the only. All I hear is Vincent Price saying the evil of the Thriller. Ha, 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 ha. And rings absolutely no bell. I know it's outside the DC universe, and I love that. And I also like kind of the premise of what's going on. For me, it's going to be a cyberpunk, artificial intelligence, dystopian future adventure book. It will be a series, but not a monthly series. It's going to be published twice a year, hardcover graphic novels with mature themes. These are going to be books with pictures. Each book.
Books with pictures.
Books with pictures.
So comics,
yeah. Each book would be about Angelina Thriller and the 7 Seconds. Angelina is a human consciousness downloaded into a computer in this story, and she has gained the ability to take over systems and even robots and androids. And her great desire is to be human again. And the 7 Seconds, the members are also slightly cyberpunk updated. Salvo, Angelina's brother, is a former cyber marine, part of a special task force. Proxy is a prosthetics enhanced actor. Instead of having, you know, no skin and artificial skin just melting off every 24 hours, he has this artificial skin that doesn't really look good. So he has to have this makeup stuff that he puts on. Data, maybe, because Data is very Star Trek-y, is the son of the CEO of the United Freedom States of America. This is a dystopian future, people. He's had a dangerous amount of cyber enhancements done to his brain, so much so that he sometimes resembles a computer inside a human body. So his personal quest will be finding his humanity again. White Satin's a pilot, like in the original comic, and vehicle engineer with empathic powers. She can feel and make people feel things. Crackerjack is the only non-cyber enhanced member of the team. He's all human. He's an escape artist, an acrobat that uses all types of gadgets and tech to break into security systems. Beaker Parrish will be an android with a contained AI. Unlike Angelina, he can't go out and, you know, infect other things. And he is continuously curious about the human soul and spirituality. So he's somewhat of a spiritual monk on a quest to find his God. Finally, Dan Grove. He's known in this book as Vlog, and he's a video guy for the group. And they work together to find their humanity. The answers they seek lie in the MOSIS protocol, owned and operated by the International Cybernetics Security and Development Company, Lusk International. So Lusk International is believed to have control of 84% of Earth's data and national security systems. So this is an intrigue book, but mainly a Pinocchio.
Okay.
They're trying to find themselves, what it means to be human within this very technological, overwhelmingly so, world.
Yeah, you haven't changed it too much. You just updated it and given it a focus. I'm one of those rare people who actually read Thriller.
Really?
Later in life, obviously. It was not easy to find. And I enjoyed it. It was kind of like Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, but with a cyberpulp vibe. I want to bring Thriller into the DCU proper and give it a strong writer-artist team, or preferably a writer-artist recruited from indie comics. But otherwise, the premise would be pretty much the same. Street level, surreal heroes, the 7 seconds, who are led by a ghost in the machine called Thriller. I would set it, for my part, in Opal City, which is the most pulpy of DC's fictional cities, and already has a well-rounded police cast, you know, of characters. The original Thriller was ahead of its time, and its creative teams didn't really know how to render stories like that. I think that was the problem. At the time, this was very weird. You know, they were experimenting.
Okay.
And I want that experimentalism. But I think after the UK invasion, the comics world does know how to make that work. So I would be thrilled to see Thriller reborn.
I think I'm going to try to find it. I was really intrigued by this.
A flawed but interesting read is what I'll call it.
Okay.
Next up, Thunder and Lightning. So let's ditch the American last name. I will not hide their Vietnamese origins. Thunder and Lightning are, in fact, Southeast Asia's number one heroes. And I want them to be loud and flashy, just like their names would suggest, like over the top, borrowing from every Asian tradition, manga, anime, but also Chinese manhua, Thai comics, kaiju films, kung fu, gun fu, Shambara films, wuxia novels, all of that. It needs to be crazy fun and have spectacular art. I don't think I need to say much more.
I think we're really close in spirit for this one. Like, I wanted a manga series with Siamese twins, you know, of alien human descent, you know, separated by magic, and they would have incredible power, which is basically what happened to them, right? It's their origin story. Only we would go the Dragon Ball route with a combination of martial arts training and superpowered allies and super martial arts. Gan and Tavis, they don't have last names. That's their only name. They become the leaders of the Earth Defense Squad. They're always fighting off the champions from other worlds, other dimensions, other realities. You know, like in Dragon Ball, you know, they're always defending against something that's trying to just destroy the Earth. I would like, though, to have the twins be women instead of guys.
Okay.
There's a Manhua series that's I really like. So I will have this series written by Yo Wu of the Half Prince Manhua. Maybe you know of it. Her style is incredible. So this would be my Thunder and Lightning series.
We are close.
Yeah.
Are we close on Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt?
I don't know.
Because this is a series that DC no longer has rights to. But let's say they do.
Well, yeah, let's say they do. And I'm going to go with, you know, the original style. Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt from the Charlton Comics. So I would like it to be a retro futuristic art style and an old school pulpy fun. So I'd get Frank Quitely and Grant Morrison on this book to go all out on these heroes. You know, bright colors, dark shadows, they would collide in this story. I know he was the inspiration for Ozymandias, and the entire Watchmen were inspired by the Charlton heroes. So I think we would go completely the other way and use the real Charlton heroes in this series, with Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt front and center, but with a, you know, a lighter tone, not really not the Watchmen, lighter. And it wouldn't be a full series. It would be a 12 issue maxi series, only 1 year.
I haven't named any creative types yet. I don't think, right?
I don't think so.
This one, I'm going to name somebody. Kieran Gillen is to me one of the great modern comics writers. Kid Loki, Phonogram, The Wicked Plus the Divine. And he wrote a Peter Cannon miniseries for Dynamite Comics. Like I said, this is a character DC wasn't able to keep the rights to. They just didn't publish him after a while, it just reverted to the owner, to the original creator. This series that Kieran Gillen wrote has been collected under the title Watch, and it's basically Peter Cannon versus Ozymandias, ooh, crossed with Morrison's Animal Man, or sort of a meta thing going on, and it's brilliant. So I propose that on my Earth, Gillen and artist Casper Wingard did this as a DC story with the actual Watchman as a villain. Like in the, his story, it's another version of Peter Cannon from another Earth. But let's say it's happening in the DC multiverse for real, the same Peter Cannon from the story, and it's Ozymandias on the other side. And then we let these guys just continue the stories of the smartest man on Earth with issue 6 and so on. So I'd love to see where else they would have taken it. Tiger, another Charlton hero.
Yeah.
I think DC turned Tiger into a villain in the late 90s.
Probably did.
But I'm having him become the new judo master, or as we'll call him among ourselves, Judo Tiger. So instead of a World War II time frame, these heroes were American agents in the 21st century conflict, take your pick, and Judo Master died on a Black Ops mission in which Tiger was mysteriously not assigned. So now he's graduated to his mentor's position, and they still won't tell him anything. So this is a kind of a martial arts version of The Unit, if you've ever watched that show. So we'll give him a support crew, and there's a conspiracy plot that Tiger investigates on his own time. So part procedural military action, part paranoid mystery, set in the DCU so that the opponents are villains like Cobra, like the Jihad, things we recognize. So, you know, like kind of in the same corner as the Suicide Squad or Checkmate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All these undercover, darker, in the shadows type of superheroes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it. I was going to retell the story of Tiger, but this time from Tiger's point of view. And how what we know of Tiger is not what is real about Tiger. It's kind of like history. I mean, Tiger lived in a relocation camp during World War II, which was horrible. Even though he was American, this can only affect your worldview greatly. He's contacted by this Japanese spy, the Cat. But instead of collaborating with the Cat, he helped Sergeant Ribjagger, that you know as Judo Master, of course, to meet and try to apprehend the villain. Judo Master is bested by the Cat, but Tiger easily beats the Cat with superior martial arts skills. And since Judo Master was believed to be the big hero, he's, you know, the big white guy, Tiger took second fiddle and was always treated like the sidekick. But in reality, Tiger was training Judo Master. Tiger is secretly one of the best martial artists in the DCU, on the same level as Richard Dragon, Bronze Tiger. Actually, the Tiger in the name Bronze Tiger is an homage to Tiger and Cassandra Cain. So this is the story of somebody that we thought we knew, but was really a lot better than we thought we knew.
I like it. It's kind of the Kato to the Green Hornet.
And I mean, that part of American history is horrible. This wouldn't do much, but at least would give a fresh point of view. When I read the origin story, I was like, oof, this is horrible. This is a horrible origin story. So I felt like I needed to maybe retell it in a better way without changing the story, only changing how we see that story.
The minute you said the word cat, my cat jumped up on the microphone and I had to turn my equipment off.
The cat is quite the evil.
Same here. Let's stick to this Tiger motif with the Omega Men's Tigor.
This will be a partner series for the new Tamaran, Green Flame or Green Fire. Tigor and the Omega Men detect this light of hope with Tamaran 3 and the Green Lantern Corps now established in the Vega system. But draining the Vega system swamp is a lot grittier than just wearing a Green Lantern ring. It's going to be infiltration and stuff like that. So Tigor and the Omega Men will be set in the Vega system and will be a sci-fi spy action thriller series showing the underbelly of the Citadel, the Scions, and the Spider Guild. So they will be working undercover for the Green Lantern Corps inside the Vega system.
Well, I kind of promised Tigor would be able to cross over with the Shadow War of Hawkman. So Tigor, Omega. It is a superpowered version of Battlestar Galactica, in which the Vegan races finally accept defeat at the hands of the Citadel, the Warlords of Okara, Gardanians, and Scions, and leave in a massive fleet to try and find a new home. And of course, the bad guys believe those ships are theirs, so they pursue. So it's a desperate cosmic tour of the DC Universe led by Tygor and a few surviving Omega Men. A book that promises lots of guest stars, but also complete unpredictability. Anyone could die. Any race might find a home and leave the spacefaring society that we're building in the series. It's going to be that kind of space opera. From a cat to a dog, from a tiger to a wolf, Timberwolf. I mentioned the Time Trapper earlier. So when the Time Trapper erased the Legion, leaving only Tellus and his team, what he actually did was make the heroes have never joined the Legion. Because Timberwolf inspired Wolverine in real life, and I think should be as popular. He's the only former Legionnaire that will get his own series. So someone other than Lightlass apparently cured him of his delusion of being an android. It's a weird chapter.
That's weird, yeah.
But we're still going to call him Lone Wolf, as he was at first. It also highlights the lack of a team. You know, but the series is inspired by the Baxter series Legion of Superheroes number 13, in which he goes to fulfill Karate Kid's last request on Lithol, a post-apocalyptic type planet where gangs are constantly fighting. So Lone Wolf, running from his lycanthropic rages, has fled to this world where it doesn't matter if he hurts someone. And so has Karate Kid, who is just there to test himself to the limit. He hasn't died because he was never part of the Legion, so we can have Karate Kid. At first, they are in opposite factions. Later, they might become friends. So this is going to be a violent action fest with definite satirical Judge Dredd vibes. Like these gangs, it's a what if, right? It's what if Timberwolf never joined the Legion.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go lighter in tone. Timberwolf will be a part of the new series Legion of Superheroes Academy. It's a fun teen drama series, Legion of Superheroes Academy. Timberwolf, we will see how his father tried to treat a genetic defect with Zunium Ray therapy. And then he is turned into Bryn Londo Teen Wolf, like the Michael J. Fox style Teen Wolf. It's going to be funny. It's going to be zany. Bryn didn't understand this newfound power until he enrolled into the Legion of Superhero Academy. And at the academy, he started to date Light. I'm not going to call her Light Lass. You know, she's just going to be Light. And there are key players in the homecoming celebrations and pep rally. The Legion of Superheroes Academy are in a constant battle with their rival, the other school, the Legion of Super Villains High. All the battles are either academic or athletic or artistic. You know, that's how they fight it off. Archie's comic, having a baby with Teen Titans Go and My Hero Academia all in one. Maybe Legion of Superheroes Academy could be just that, though.
Probably. And Timberwolf is just our entry. He's the new student.
Yeah, he's our, homecoming king.
Being a fan of Tiny Titans and this kind of stuff, you know, I like superheroes translated into some sort of school environment. I do like this a lot.
Yeah, I would love to see something like this.
We're down to our bonus series. You know, of all the characters, of all the villains, of everyone that's in here, other than the ones we've done, who did you pick to get a series?
Well, since I'm a Titans fan and always liked Deathstroke, in this book was called The Terminator, so that's why he's in the T book. We're going to change Deathstroke the Terminator to Deathstroke the Professor. What? My bonus series is an alternate reality of Deathstroke the Terminator. After the death of Grant Wilson, his son, he works with Terra to destroy the Teen Titans. Up until then, everything is the same. But when Jericho helped the Titans and Terra was not killed but just badly injured, Slade Wilson was captured. After looking at his son, the hero, he had an attack of conscience. Slade reformed. He worked with therapists, got over his anger issues, worked with people while he's in jail, worked to deal better with his wartime PTSD, and became a new man. He returned to the Titans Tower, where he was welcomed brutally by Gar Logan, of course, Beast Boy, who attacked, but found a Slade Wilson who did not fight back. Slade offered to help the Titans as a trainer, coordinator, and professor of sorts. Never getting in the way, but always having their back, Slade Wilson is a Titan. He is the Professor.
So this is your way to get a series of contemporary day Titans in there, even though your Titans book is actually
future Titans. But it's about, you know, not giving in to anger and rage and vengeance. This is a Slade Wilson, who is smart and tries to get in touch with his humanity and tries to understand the world better instead of just going violent and killing people.
And when we were discussing which characters would actually be covered, originally you wanted Deathstroke to be a hero because he has had heroic-ish series. The compromise was, well, okay, we'll keep Terra, but if you want Deathstroke, you're going to have to put him in your bonus book. For me, it's based on the Time Trapper. He's like a watcher, plays host in a book called Legion Lost. That's all about the Legionnaires now living separate lives. Saturn Girl as a member of the Science Police Psycor. Cosmic Boy as a sports star. The Lightning Twins versus their brother Mecht. White Witch trapped in the form of the Hag, rescued by her sister Dream Girl. These are all like separate stories. Some will have heroic legacies of their own. Some will crash and burn without the Legion. It's all a what if. Sometimes the series will have multi-issue arcs. Other ex-Legionnaires will only have one and dones. It depends. And by the end of the series, it's possible a lot of these heroes will come together anyway because you can't stop fate. And then they'll go after the Time Trapper and maybe restore the timeline. Who knows, you know? But this family of books, I didn't want just Timberwolf to be able to shine. He shines longest, but I think every character could benefit from like this kind of the spotlight series. And there will be also a subplot running through the Frame Tales in which the Time Trapper's true identity might change because of competing timelines. We're going to keep it timey and wimey because he's been different people. He's been Cosmic Boy. He's been, who knows, he's been a male, he's been female, he's been Superboy Prime, you know, Lori Morning. He's been all sorts of people depending on which continuity we're having. So let's explore that maybe in a fun way so that he's not just playing host. He's got his own little story going. That's it.
Yeah. I like it.
So finally, we follow the well-established tradition that states we have only enough money to buy one series from the other editor's line. Which will it be, Bess?
You know, so many good ones. I think I'm going to buy your Peter Cannon.
Can I borrow it?
Of course. I like the way you just continue on something that started. I mean, I haven't read it.
I recommend it.
You know, I've only seen a bit of things and I thought this is beautiful and smart and brilliant. And I too would like to see a lot more of that. So I would go with the Peter Cannon Thunderbolt series.
I will go with one of the later ones that you mentioned. I said I liked Academy type stuff. So your Legion Academy book looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So I think it would be that one. I think that's the one I would buy.
You wouldn't just grab the free Comic Book Day flyer about Thanagar?
You said it was free. I have money to buy. So I'm going to get the free one. That's obviously. But good. The one I'm paying for month to month is going to be Starfleet Academy. It's going to be Legion Academy. Okay. Well, dear listeners, it's time for you to go to fireandwaterpodcast.com. Tell us what you think. Would you read any of these books? And if you were in charge, what series would you offer using these characters? Remember, if you like this content, think about visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcasts, like Diablo Frank, who sponsors this show. I hope you had fun, Bess.
I really did. This was great. I hope I can destroy other planets in the future.
Well, thanks for trying the experiment with me. Until next time, then, who's editing?
We are.
But a teenager is a great character because they're the last years where they can be stupid. And that's great for writing. It means they can make mistakes. They can worry about things that an adult shouldn't be worried about. I like writing that age group. I was also, when I did it, not that far away from then, which I am obviously now. I'm miles away.